You know, this microphone will pick up everybody. Oh, we just put it right here, yeah.
Okay.
Got a setting for that.
And do you have a preference in the order in which you'd like to
talk? John would like to speak first.
First, okay. And do you have a preference for who would be second?
I can speak first.
Okay. All right. Okay, tell me when you're ready.
I have prepared written copy.
Great.
Pronounce it Bohink?
Bohink. It's an Indian name.
Uh-huh.
It means clear lake, but because there is a clear lake north of us and a clear lake south of us, they apparently decided that they needed a different name.
Mm-hmm.
But the road that runs around Bohink Lake is called Clear Lake Road.
Gotta get it in.
So,
okay,
we're
ready to go.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeannie LeJune. I'm the Oregon Water Resources Commissioner for the West Side at large. And I'll be serving as the Oregon Water Resources Department's hearing officer today. The purpose of this hearing is to take public comment on proposed changes to the Mid-Coast Basin Program administrative rules, which are found in OAR 690-518. The department will consider comments provided during the public comment period. In addition to the opportunity to present oral and written comments at this hearing, anyone may submit written comments until the close of the comment period, which is 5 p.m. October 10th of 2012. Comments received after that time will not be reviewed or considered unless the department decides to extend the public comment period for everyone. Each person wishing to comment at this hearing should complete one of their request to comment cards located on the information table in the back and bring it up to me, what you've done. I will use those cards to call each person when it is his or her turn to provide comment. When I call your name, please come forward and state your name and address. If you represent an organization, please state the name of the organization. Let me then present your comments. If you have written material to enter into the record, please say so and try to summarize it. And then give me a copy of that material if you've not already submitted it to the department. And then other preliminary matters are the location of the restrooms, which I believe are to the left. And this is a no smoking facility. And then information available on the table in front of you provides further information. Before we begin the formal public hearing, we will have an informal question and answer session for the proposed rules. No questions will be answered during the formal hearing itself, so this is your opportunity to ask agency staff questions about the proposal. The department staff present here is Tim Wallen, manager of the Water Department's Water Rights Section. And he'll briefly explain the proposed rules and try to answer any questions. So I will begin the formal hearing in about 5 minutes, giving you, any additional opportunity to fill out the cards, which I think you have already done. And then are there any questions on how the formal hearing will be conducted? Great. Thank you. So before we begin then the formal hearing, do you have some questions on the proposed rules? Any questions?
If you have specific questions, I'm glad to answer them. If not, I can give you kind of a synopsis of what the rationale is for the proposed revisions and kind of what the intent behind them is.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there aren't many changes, but basically we're revising the administrative rules for all of the five coastal basins all along the coast of Oregon. And we're doing that because most of them haven't been updated for 20 years or more. And there's been legislation passed along since that time that we need to incorporate into here just to bring them up to speed. So there are several purposes in doing that. One is just to streamline them and take out unnecessary words from an editorial perspective. Another one is that these basin programs are the criteria that are reviewed when people request new water use authorizations. And as such, they contain classifications, which are lists of allowable uses based upon some distilled knowledge that over the years that's emerged about what the highest and best uses of the water are. And so those are codified in these administrative rules. Now, over the years, and I mean many years here, decades, there have been orders that have been issued by the Water Resources Commission, by the director, by the state engineer, and statutes passed by the legislature that withdraw certain sources of water from further appropriation. You know, think Multnomah Falls here or something like that. You know, we don't want to take that water. And so a few of those have escaped notice and somehow have not gotten incorporated into this classification. And so some of the withdrawals that we've discovered, we had conducted a little project with my staff, and we identified all of these withdrawals, and we wanted to put them all in one place so people would know what was withdrawn and what wasn't. So that's another purpose, is to incorporate those once and for all and get these basin programs up to date. And you can see the dates on some of these 1959, 1960, there's old land. So. But now they're in here. There's another change that we're making that has been superseded by legislation. As I mentioned, each basin program contains a classification of allowable uses. And in this particular program, there's one that says we can't accept one for a use that's not in that classification. Well, subsequent to this rule being promulgated, the legislature passed a statute that allows people to request a non-classified use that's not in that list, and it gets reviewed by the commission, and the commission gives it a thumbs up or thumbs down, which simply allows the department to keep processing that application or not, depending upon the commission's decision. And so because of that legislation, this rule that says that we can't take them doesn't make sense anymore, because we can take them. The law says that we can. And so that's why we're taking that rule out. So a lot of these we view just sort of as streamlining types of efforts. And a lot of them are pretty trivial, like many, many decades ago, a variety of state agencies could in some way, through some sort of permitting process, authorize a water use. And a while back, 25 years ago or something, the legislature passed some statute that said, no, we need one agency to do this, and that's the Water Resources Department. So there were references in these rules to other state agencies granting water rights, which they can't anymore. So that's why we're just changing that language. Because it's just the one department that does so now. And probably the most significant one is the rule about storage. There's a provision in four of the five coastal basin programs, including this one, that requires that a new application for a reservoir that exceeds 3 million gallons of water, which is 9.2 acre feet, be reviewed by the Water Resources Commission prior to approval so that they can determine whether they want to add additional minimum flows on the river to support aquatic life or minimize pollution. Well, we need to take this rule out because in 1997, the legislature passed a law repealing the commission's authority to create additional minimum flows. And the reason they did that was because they had already passed something called the In-Stream Water Right Act, where instead of having these administrative minimum flows to support ecological function, state agencies actually now have to apply for a water right like everybody else to protect those flows in the stream. So the problem with the minimum flow, they were called minimum perennial flows. They were an early attempt to make sure that there was some in-stream flow left to preserve ecological function. But the problem was the department couldn't enforce them from a legal perspective because they weren't water rights. And so then the In-Stream Water Right Act was passed. And so then there was a mechanism to do that and protect those. So we're proposing to take this rule out because the commission really isn't authorized to do that anymore. And so that should streamline people's reservoir applications because it could add up to about 5 months to the processing time, depending on the commission's quarterly schedule, about whether they can meet. And so we think this will really speed things up for certain applicants. And really, I think that it captures most of the changes. The only other one is on the very first page. We're simply reducing some of what I call florid or fancy flowery language because it's simply repeating the statute here in these administrative rules. You know, the administrative rules are intended to implement the statute, not repeat them. And so being an editor 24/7, I sort of pare down and try to make this as user-friendly a document as I can whenever I get the chance. So really that sums up the changes that are being made, and I'd be glad to try and answer any questions that you have about the changes or any other part of the basic program.
No questions?
If you have any.
Okay, well, I have another statement to read as I open the formal hearing, and then I'll call on you, but it won't take long. Just tell me when you're ready. This hearing is now in session and is being tape recorded to maintain a record. Again, my name is Jeannie LeJune and I'm the hearings officer. Today is October 3rd, 2012, and the time is 2:25 p.m. And the purpose of this hearing is to provide an opportunity for public comment on the proposed rules, which will be forwarded to the Oregon Water Resources Commission for possible adoption. The intent of the proposed rules is to revise the existing Mid-Coast Basin Program. Basin programs are administrative rules which establish water management policies and objectives and which govern the appropriation of the surface and groundwater within each of the respective administrative basins of Oregon. The department invites comments about whether other options for revising the Mid-Coast Basin Program should be considered for achieving the rules' goals while reducing the negative impact on small business. In addition to presenting public comments at this hearing, anyone may submit written comments until 5 p.m. on October 10, 2012, which is the close of the public comment period. Send comments to Ruben Ochoa, I don't think I ever pronounced his name right, it's O-C-H-O-A, Oregon Water Resources Department, 725 Summer Street Northeast, Suite A, Salem, Oregon, 97301. In addition, comments can be submitted by fax at Attention Rule Coordinator at 503-986-0903 or by email to rule-coordinator at wrd.state.or.us. Comments received after 5 p.m. on October 10, 2012 will not be reviewed or considered unless the department decides to extend the public comment period for everyone. The department will not respond to questions during this hearing. After the close of the public comment period, the department will prepare a report to the Water Resources Commission which the department will make available to all persons who submitted comments. And at this point, I'll begin taking comments now. And first up, John Stead, Wolfing Lake Association. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Hearing Officer Jean Lejeune and Tim Whalen. We're pleased that you're offering us this opportunity this afternoon. I'm John Stead, a longtime member of the Wohink Lake Association's Board of Directors and a longtime member of Dune City's Water Quality Committee. I'm a senior technology manager certified by the Association of Technology Management and Applied Engineering and hold an earned doctorate from the University of Southern California. The proposed amendments to the Mid-Coast Basin Program include removal of the word only from OAR 690-518-00101 and A and C and D. The department appears to be seeking increased flexibility in interpreting the program. This is an understandable request considering what has occurred. The Mid-Coast Basin Program classifies the waters of Wohink and Cleowox Lakes only for utilization of waters for domestic and other purposes that you can read from the document itself. These lakes are exceptions to the classifications listed under OAR 690-518-00101. For example, permit number 52093, issued April 26, 1996, allows 16 households to use 16 thousandths of a CFS of water from Cleowox Lake, a tributary of the Pacific Ocean, for human consumption only, April 1st through November 30th, 8 months of the year. While permits issued prior to and following the issuance of this permit were issued in compliance with OAR 690-518-00101A and allow water use for domestic purposes for the entire year. By the way, Cleowox Lake is hydraulically connected to Wohink Lake by the unconfined aquifer. OAR 690-518-001C says, and I quote, "The waters of the following streams and their tributaries are classified only for utilization of water for domestic, livestock, irrigation of lawn or non-commercial garden, not to exceed 1/2 acre in area, power development, and in-stream uses for recreation, wildlife, and fish life purposes." One of these streams listed is Wohink Creek. It's under M. On December 16, 2010, 4 permits, number 54686, 54687, 54688, and 54689, were issued authoring use of the waters from 2 unnamed streams that are tributaries to Wohink Creek for human consumption purposes only, indoor use only. That means if the person walks outside carrying a cup of water or a cup of coffee that was made with water from their household, they are in violation of the permit. A similar permit, 54694, was issued January 13, 2001. In actuality, the pumps are located within and divert water from Little Wohink Lake, which happens to be a tributary of Wohink Lake, which is a tributary of Wohink Creek. Wohink Lake is the source of water for the following, I said permits and certificates, it should read following certificates. On March 15, 2002, 4 certificates constrained to human consumption purposes for the entire year were issued. on March 22, 2002, two additional certificates for human consumption only were issued. That same day, 8 certificates constrained to human consumption for 8 months and leaving domestic use for 4 months were issued, as was a certificate constrained to human consumption for 7 months. On July 29, 2008, another certificate constrained to human consumption, this time for 7 months, was issued. A similar certificate was issued on August 1, 2008. Such limitations on water use frustrated owners, realtors, builders, and developers, and discouraged out-of-compliance water users from seeking permits and certificates. As a solution, the department assigned management of Wohink Lake to Dunes City and stopped issuing permits. Residents signed contracts to use the city's 1968 permit for domestic use. Those seeking documentation that water would be available in the future paid a fee of $50. The initial fee for authorization to use water was $600, with an annual fee of $150, later reduced to $100. The department issued a transfer permit containing 211 additional points of diversion, 135 of them for water use. Residents are continuing to apply for authorization to use Dune City's permit. This solution represents a potential loss to the department of $147,700 at $700 an application. In conclusion, it's my recommendation that the word only must remain in place at all 4 locations, OIR 690518001, A, C, and D, as the word only supports the intents of the basin program, including the specific exceptions. It provides measurable standards which, when properly employed, make for consistency and efficiency in the preparation of applications and their subsequent processing. My second recommendation is that OER 690518-00102 must remain in place. To wit, and this is a quote, applications for the use of the waters of the Mid-Coast Basin shall not be accepted by any state agency for any purpose contrary to the classifications herein specified, and the granting of applications for such other uses is declared to be prejudicial to the public interest, and the granting of such other uses would be contrary to this water use program. OIR 690518-00102 gives guidance to potential permit applicants and provides them with assurances for entities and other persons who rely on the department's decisions. By exercising OIR 690518-00102, transparency and public confidence is maintained. Thank you very much.
I have just a question for
Chris.
Yes. On page 2 in the first paragraph, the second to the last sentence says a similar permit 54694 was issued January 13, 2011, but I think verbally you said 2001, and I just wanted to clarify.
Yes, 2011 is correct.
Is correct, yes. Right, I just want to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stantz. Thanks
You're
for coming
welcome.
Today. Susie Nevada from the Wohink Lake Association also. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for letting us know.
Sure.
It was John who alerted us. I've been the president of the Wohink Lake Association for over 10 years now, and was a steering member of the association. I've been a city councilor for 8 years, and on the Dune City Planning Commission also. And one of my things that I tried to accomplish while I was there was education. And it was very hard to get the public to understand the difference between human consumption, domestic water consumption, expanded consumption. And so at some point I called Dave Williams, the water master, and had a long discussion with him. And we talked about domestic water use, which most people have. And when I asked about a hot tub, he said, no, you can't have a hot tub. And so I said, how about a sauna? No, we can't have a sauna. I said, kiddie pool. Nope. I said, was it all right to let the little nippers swim in Mohink Lake? Well, yeah. Well, they're getting water. Can we put it in a kiddie pool for a little while and it'll absorb back into the lake at some point? So he finally gave permission for those three things. And then we talked about power washing before painting. And he said that that would be a permissible thing. And then he gave me gutter cleaning, which I have never even heard of cleaning a gutter with water. But you did it the old-fashioned way with a scoop. And then we talked about car washing and maintenance. Well, people who live by the lake do not wash their car. They have it washed in town like they're supposed to. And so I asked about pets in general, and one thing was I mentioned was, can you feed the little hummingbird? Oh, it's only a little bit of water. It doesn't drink very much. It's very small. And so finally he asked we could do the hummingbird, and he gave me bird baths. And then I was allowed to water the household plants when I said, if I took my water and ran it in the morning into a bucket and waited for it to get hot before I shaved, would it be permissible to water my houseplants with it? Well, yeah, that'd be okay. So then we agreed that we could give the dog a drink of water. But that was a very long part of the discussion. And I said, well, the other option that letting the dog, not giving the dog water, must I keep the lid on the toilet seat down at all times? And how much am I responsible for here? So he gave me dog bathing. And then I said, you know, there's other occasions where one must put water in their yard, even if you don't want to. It makes good sense when barbecuing to have a hose nearby. So he gave me, you know, when you're burning debris in your yard or barbecuing, that you can actually put out the fire before it sets the forest on fire. We talked about home repairs, and he allowed a small amount of concrete mixing. Therefore, my point is that OWRD does not have a written list. And if you have questions, Dave Williams said that all you have to do is call him and he can give you the answer. And I still would like to know why.
Thank you very much. Those are good questions. And Tim's made a note of them and we've got them on the website.
Would you like a copy of that?
Yes, we would. Yeah. Thank you very much, Ms. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Mr. Farnsworth, welcome.
Thank you. You probably noticed I also am recording. The reason that I'm doing that is because we have a city councilor who wanted to be here today, but because of a family problem, he couldn't be here. But he was interested, so I just thought I'd record it.
Thank you for his interest.
I'm a resident. I've been on the. I was, I guess, with John founding the Water Quality Committee. They used my boat to do the water tests on the lake. Why I still have a boat worth $30,000 or $40,000 sitting there just for water tests, I still haven't figured out. But
just for clarification, can you state that you're with the Wohink Association?
I am with the Wohink Lake Association, yes. Okay. And I'm also a taxpayer, and I take my drinking water and what else water from Wohink Lake. I have lakefront property. I never have understood the permit that was issued to me. I have never understood the rules of the Oregon water system. When you say nobody else can give permission, we had an incident not too long ago. In fact, it was last summer, I believe, that we had a person who was trying to compete professionally in slalom racing water skiing. Unfortunately, where he was doing it was a small arm of Wohink Lake, where there's less than 200 feet from one side to the other. And the speedboat going through there repeatedly was just eroding and eroding and eroding the banks. He was asked to stop in not very polite language. And the Marine Board gave them permission to continue to do it until 2020 or some such thing. I mean, I didn't see the permit. This is all hearsay. But I'll tell you, as a resident, a taxpayer, I'm confused by all of this stuff. And we've tried very hard in Doom City to keep the lake clean. We understand the water belongs to the state, the land under it belongs to the state, but we drink it. And the state doesn't seem to do anything because they don't have the resources. As individuals, we feel responsible. And so we've done the water tests. I've been out there rain and shine once a month for 10 years. The federal government, in their infinite wisdom, said that the phosphorus level in Wohink Lake, in fact, all the coastal lakes, should be no greater than 7.1 parts per million in the per liter, you know, all this gobbledygook. When we first started doing the water test in 2002, Mark Chandler and I, who's still doing it and still heading up crews for both Wohink and Silcruise, we were finding phosphorus levels at 9, 10, and 11 parts per million. Now, 7.1 up to... The last time I went out physically testing, we had to down to about 4. How do we do it? Well, number one, we're the first city in the state to require septic maintenance. The only thing the state rules and the Lane County rules say is if you're supposed to maintain it, and if you don't, if it fails, they will step in and make sure it gets repaired. Wonderful. We have people who have got septics there since 1938 and they've never been looked at. We have septics that the tank is here. The next door neighbor has said, sure, you can cross my property, and the septic field is on the next person's property. How it's ever going to get straightened out, I don't know. We have wells and septics on quarter-acre lots. That's clearly a violation of every health law in the world. I mean, that's dumb. There's a lot of fighting going on because of the septic ordinance. Nonetheless, that helped to bring it down immeasurably. I think the fact that construction has slowed down also has helped. We have an erosion ordinance now where you have to control, not funnel your erosion, but make sure it sheets if it's heading towards the lake, that sort of thing. And an anti-phosphorus ordinance, and we understand now the state is working on an anti-phosphorus rule too. The phosphorus is bad for the lakes, bad for the water. The state, as you know, was sued because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do with the 303D list of the EPA. Silcoos Lake is endangered. That borders Dune City as well. They had 10 years to get started doing a TMDL study. They just barely started it within the 10-year period. We tried to figure out what was going on there. We kept in the dark. We don't know. Rich, help me.
Miller.
Rich Miller at Portland State University has been down, done water testing, been out with us. He didn't know that they were doing it. Apparently it's an EPA thing that they've stepped in to do. It just, there's so many government entities, so many local problems and all that, it just is a mishmash to me. And I don't see any concerted effort to try and clean and protect the coastal lakes, particularly the two that are influencing my property values and my life. So that's why I'm here.
That's very helpful information. Thank you. Do any of the three of you have anything you want to add to the comments that you've made for the record?
I'd like to add a couple things.
Yeah, we'll just restate your name.
Yes, I'm John Stead, and I'd like to add a couple of things, primarily for your information, I guess. Wohink Lake is one of only two lakes named in the federal Clean Water Act, and there must be some reasons for that.
In Oregon.
I'm sorry, one of the two in Oregon, one of the two lakes in Oregon. Wohink Lake is special. It is a cryptodepression, which means that the bottom of the lake is 37 feet below sea level. It's the only lake in the area that is that way. Wohink Lake is a sand dune dammed lake and there is an unconfined aquifer that goes from, depending on whether you want to consider that it goes underneath the Siusla River, that extends all the way to Coos Bay. And that unconfined aquifer pours water into Wohink Lake as needed to maintain the lake at a relatively constant level. We lose water due to evaporation and transpiration. Nevertheless, the level of that 820-acre lake stays fairly constant. Limiting people to human consumption is not going to do anything to modify the level of the lake, and it is the level of the lake as it passes through the outlet control structure that dictates how much water is going to flow in Wohink Creek. The reason it's called an outlet control structure is because the Wohink Dam, the dam that dammed off part of Wohink Lake, was used to create a portion of Highway 101 so that a bridge would not have to be built. The state's ODOT was responsible, along with the CCC camp, for getting that put together. In the process of doing this, they needed to get the water to flow through a dug ditch on private property instead of meandering the way it had meandered out of Wohink Lake. This resulted in the lake level being raised approximately 7 feet, which had the effect of lowering the level of the unconfined aquifer by 7 feet. Now, that may have something to do with stream flows and the maintenance of stream flows. I know that the department and others, including myself, are extremely concerned about maintenance of creek flows and enhancing creek flows when it's possible to do so. But at the same time, we need to pay attention to what is doable and what we can't do. It has worked on having the department issuing the certificates that I cited has worked a hardship on the city. It has worked a hardship on developers. It has worked a hardship on the people who are using water, and it has created unfairness and other kinds of problems. So it goes. What else do I need to say about that? Well, it contributes to the puzzlement over the Water Resources Department's decisions to act the way that they have in protecting water uses in Wohink Creek, which they are required to do because there is an in-stream water right permit, but that permit is based on perennial stream flows. It was never updated. the perennial stream flows are what is used, and references made in the proposal here to Table 1. And Table 1, which lists the perennial stream flows, is very close but not exactly aligned with the in-stream water right, which is based on perennial stream flows, and the perennial stream flows are available in Table 1. So there's a little kind of a bit of a technical puzzlement, just as an aside. My father was in charge of accounting for the Pacific Mutual Life Insurance Company for several years, and I learned from him the importance of doing things right. And I urge the commission, I urge the Water Resources Department to follow the rules and do things right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A couple of other observations. Ralph Farnsworth again. Just quickly reading this, I don't profess to know all the details that Dr. Stead knows, but when you say that this is going to be for domestic consumption, you've eliminated all of the camping at Hyman State Park. That's the second largest park in the state. Because I'm sure they do a lot more, you know, including the watering the grass and so on and so forth. I don't know, but that's another thing to consider. We also have a motel, and that's a business. And this doesn't say anything about supplying water to businesses that I recall. Just a couple of things you might think about as you go through this. You got an impossible job, no question. You can't possibly, with all the lawyers out there looking and parsing every word, you know, my daughter's a corporate lawyer in New York, and I know how picky they can get. She drives me nuts on the telephone sometimes. But I wish you luck, but be careful. These lakes are very sensitive, these coastal lakes. 50 in the United States named in the Clean Water Act, and Wohink is one of them. And another one, the other one in Oregon, by the way, is 10 mile. And they have tried and tried and tried, but their water is fouled and they can't bring it back. They spent well over $1 million. So we get, all we have is septic systems. We don't have a municipal water supply. It would be easier, according to those who know, to put a sewage system together somewhere else and move the city to the sewage system. We just don't have the room, we don't have the money, we don't have the resources. We've got to protect the lake because it's our drinking water. Mm-hmm. So help us if you can. Please.
It's very helpful information. Very interesting.
I'd like to elaborate a little bit on the Honeyman State Park situation. Honeyman State Park gets its water for the 1.5 million visitors that it has per year, as well as its water for maintaining the park out of Wohink Lake. They have a water right that authorizes them to do that. It's a water right certificate. It still remains, the title on that water right still remains the Oregon Department of Transportation. It has never been converted. The name has never been converted, although the rules say let us know. One state agency apparently doesn't talk to the other, because that water right is still belongs to ODOT. Another interesting thing is that ODOT had responsibility for managing the outlet control structure, and they had an easement in order to do that, an easement with the property owner that the federal government insisted that they obtain. The state engineer told the Water Resources Department, and I'm getting this third hand, the documentation that I have is an email, but the state engineer told ODOT to stop manipulating the lake, whereas when the Water Resources Commission approved, when the Water Resources Commission approved municipal use for Wohink Lake, 1.5 CFS, I think it is, at that time, they said, if there's not enough water to meet the in-stream flows, that can be taken care of through storage. It's what the commission determined when they approved this certificate. That's according to the minutes of the meeting. Nevertheless, the state engineer says, hey, stop manipulating that outlet control structure, which they did. And recently, ODOT quit claimed any interest that they had in access to that outlet control structure to the property owner. So ODOT is clear out of the picture. And that's another strange piece of the puzzle that we haven't been able to adequately put together. So you people, the commission and the department, have a lot of work to do just with this one little lake. So trying to manage the entire state is another thing. The two recommendations that I made are applicable to all of the basin programs along the coast, from border to border, from Astoria to the California border. I'm not in a position to speak about how people in those basins may feel about my recommendations, but I would speculate that they probably have the same sort of innuendos. It's interesting also to note that the department is making recommendations to remove these things from the coastal basins, yet allowing them to remain in several other basins in Oregon. So, you know, that's puzzling about if you're cleaning the house, why don't you get it all done so you don't have to keep worrying about all these loose ends? Just a suggestion.
That's very helpful information.
One of the things that, if I were in your chair, I would be concerned about is the delegating of the permitting authority from the Water Resources Department to a municipality that's run by volunteers. I think we have 3 paid staff, that's it. That doesn't make sense. You guys gave up $147,700 to have this ineffectively run, I might say. One of the parts of the agreement, they had to be give clocks or something. I don't know what it
meters.
Is.
Meters.
Every year, they haven't done
they have
two
to be
years.
They haven't
have
run their
meters
in 2 years.
And report annually to the Water Resources Department. The department has let the city, I shouldn't say the department has let them. The department has not followed up and said to the city, where are those meter readings?
We have such turnover in the city, it's a wonder they get rid of it ever.
Many people in the city are disgruntled and now refuse to pay their water meter fee, and they also refuse to hand in monthly meter readings that they did themselves.
The way
the program is not going well at all.
We sound like an aspirin.
The meter, John said again, the meters are read annually by a person that the department, that the city has contracted with. For the balance of the year, you know, the monthly readings that are to be collected are based on information received from the from a person on the property reading the meter and then sending that information in. And then that information gets aggregated and someday possibly sent to the department. Another interesting thing that relates to the storage portion that you addressed earlier, Tim, is that Dune City has received a permit to store water on Wohink Lake, to store 6 inches of water. And the department asked in a letter, they asked the city if the city had access to the structure. And the mayor wrote a letter back and said, yes, we do. What he failed to say was, and that access is by water. And the state, nevertheless, went ahead and approved that permit. This is another piece of the puzzle. I know it's important that you have feet on the ground at some of these places. And Dave Williams is doing a great job, as well as he's able to do, with the constraints that he's got to deal with. So I don't have the solution. My professional background leaves me with a great deal of empathy for what you were trying to accomplish.
Thank you all three very much for coming. We appreciate the time that you've taken, and particularly we appreciate the effort. I know how much time it takes to prepare a written testimony, and your thoughtful comments are very much appreciated. So thank you very much.
I appreciate having the opportunity.
You know, one thing I might mention is the commission and the department and other state agencies have just completed about a 3-year process to develop Oregon's first ever integrated water resources strategy.
I've been following.
Have you? Because it really does talk about some of the issues you bring up of water quantity and water quality, you know, in particular, but also land use. It was formally adopted by the commission at our meeting in August, and will now be really. Implementation is already underway, but it's a first ever document that had thousands of people providing input over 3 years, and it's really interesting, and we hope over time it will really address exactly the kind of issues that you bring up.
When I was preparing this paper, I had that in the back of my mind, but not knowing how much time we would have to present, I said, out.
Good for you, John.
John's forgotten more about this than we'll ever know.
Well, the public comment period will be open until the 10th, so if you do have some additional, input that you'd like to provide, I would say please, get it to us just as soon as possible. Thank you.
Does that conclude things?
That concludes your testimony. But the hearing needs to stay open until what? Is it 3:30?
No.
Oh, 3. Oh, just till 3:00. Okay. Well, thank you for coming. And I call the names of everybody who has submitted comment cards. There isn't anyone else here to present information to us, so I declare the hearing closed.